Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're plunging into, well, a really glittering world. We're talking about exceptional luxury jewelry, not just as stunning pieces to wear, but as serious financial assets.
Exactly. It's this fascinating intersection, isn't it? High-end jewels, art, history, sometimes deep personal meaning, and then the surprising financial flexibility they can actually offer.
That's right. We're looking at how these iconic luxury brands, their creations, can be used to secure loans, often through specialist pawnbrokers. It's really about understanding the true multifaceted value of these exquisite items. So our mission today is to explore six of the top brands. We want to uncover what makes them so sought after, you know, their unique design ideas and the specific things that make them so valuable in the luxury lending market. And we're pulling insights from a great piece by new Bond Street pawnbrokers called Top 6 Brands of Fine Jewelry You Can Loan Against at Luxury Pawn Shops. Should give you a really clear picture of these, well, glittering assets. Okay, let's get into it. When we talk high-end jewelry, some names just sparkle, don't they? Instantly recognizable prestige. And first up is Graff.
Ah, Graff.
Known for mixing modern design with really traditional craftsmanship. Their pieces are very distinctive. And what's interesting, according to the source, is owners often feel this deep reluctance to actually part with them for good.
Yeah, and that makes sense. They're so sought after, often kind of irreplaceable. And what's fascinating there is how Graff doesn't just command these astonishing prices, it also fosters such deep emotional attachment. People actively look for alternatives to selling, like, you know, secured loans, specifically to keep these unique pieces.
It really says something about the value, doesn't it? Beyond just the price tag.
Absolutely. It speaks volumes about that perceived enduring value and personal significance. But it's not just emotion. There's a real tangible reason, too, rooted in their diamonds.
That's a great point. And it seems to stem from the founder's passion. Lawrence Graff himself said, "I was born to be amongst diamonds."
You can see it.
You really can. In their creations, you know, from earrings to necklaces, Graff shows off this abundance of cuts and designs. Flawless white, yellow, rose diamonds. And here's where it gets really interesting. Graff's yellow diamonds, apparently some of the oldest in the world, over 3.2 billion years old.
Wow.
Can you imagine wearing something that old?
Yeah.
Predates most life on Earth.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it? And, you know, this isn't just a cool fact. That incredible rarity, that natural history, it directly feeds into their extraordinary market value.
Right.
But Graff isn't just stuck in the past. They're also looking forward, mixing tradition with high-tech stuff to make what they call heirlooms of the future. So it's this dual focus, honoring the past, innovating for tomorrow, that really underpins their market strength. And why they're so desirable as collateral, maybe even more so than some competitors like Cartier, makes them a uniquely liquid asset.
And the numbers certainly back that up. The source says a pair of Graff yellow and gold diamond drop earrings could be worth over £1 million.
A million? Wow.
Yeah, whether at auction or, importantly, at a luxury pawnbroker. A big diamond pendant might retail for upwards of £1.5 million. And we've seen record-breaking sales. Remember that 24.78 carat Graff pink diamond sold at Sotheby's Geneva for $46.2 million?
It's astonishing. That's about $40.3 million, right?
Exactly. And more recently, a Graff fancy yellow diamond ring fetched a record £1,307,600 by fellow auctioneers. So like you said, you're not just holding a jewel, you're holding a portable fortune, backed by immense rarity and expert craftsmanship.
Indeed. And what this really means for you, the listener, is that the provenance and the sheer rarity associated with these top diamond houses create a highly liquid asset class. You know, unlike many traditional investments, their value often holds up well against market ups and downs, makes them a unique kind of hedge, and a reliable source of quick capital if you need it, precisely because their appeal is so fundamental and, well, the supply is so limited.
Okay, so from one diamond titan to another, let's talk Harry Winston.
Ah, the king of diamonds.
That's the one. His story starts with his Ukrainian father, who had a jewelry firm in the U.S. Harry Winston learned the trade, launched his own famous New York store by 1932.
And that heritage is just critical. Harry Winston's deep connections in the global diamond industry, it led him acquire not just individual stones, but entire collections of the absolute highest quality.
Like the Hope Diamond.
Exactly. Think about the Hope Diamond, truly legendary. Harry Winston gifted it to the Smithsonian in 1958. It wasn't just about owning it. It was about being the custodian of history's most magnificent jewels. That level of access, that expertise, it directly shapes how the market sees the brand.
Absolutely. And that pedigree, that creative flair, meant that back in 2018, out of $906 million in jewelry sold at Christie's and Sotheby's, the top pieces, they were Harry Winston.
Mm-hmm. Premier sellers.
The interest is global, too. We saw two huge Harry Winston diamond necklaces sell for $324,500 and $492,500 at Bottoms, New York in 2018. And it's worth noting, they offer their own discreet collateral lending service, aiming for cash within 24 hours.
Which really shows how recognized and accessible the value of their pieces is.
So when you're thinking about a loan against a piece from these legends, Graff or Harry Winston, you're holding, well, more than a jewel. It's a verifiable piece of history. Exceptional market value.
Definitely. Backed by that legacy of quality, rarity, constant demand, makes them highly secure assets for luxury lending. It's clear that pure diamond power drives immense value for those brands. But shifting gears a bit, some houses get their value more from, say, artistic design and incredibly intricate craftsmanship, where the story and the detail of the piece are just paramount.
Right, where it's not just about the giant rock.
Exactly. Which brand exemplifies that kind of value?
That would definitely be Van Cleef & Arpels, a Parisian house creating pieces since 1906, and they are highly sought after. Individual buyers, boutiques, even Arabian royalty, apparently, globally.
Ah, Van Cleef, known for that poetic vision.
Yeah, that's the word, poetic symmetry, harmony. They use high clarity, superbly cut diamonds in these really intricate settings. Their designs are often inspired by nature. And they're so iconic, they're frequently used as collateral for loans. You've probably seen their famous collections like Alhambra, Perlée, Frivole, all made with exquisite sparkling diamonds.
Mm-hmm. The Alhambra clover especially.
And they even patented something called the mystery set method.
Oh, right, where you barely see the metal.
Exactly. The settings are almost invisible, so the gems look like they're floating. A mystery set brooch du fleur clip, I think. With ruby, emerald, diamond sold for £235,250 at Christie's back in 2011.
Wow, that's quite specific. And it raises a good question. When valuing a Van Cleef piece or a loan, what specific things do luxury pawn brokers look at beyond just the general appeal? It can't just be, ooh, sparkly, right? It's got to be a detailed assessment.
Oh, it truly is. The source goes into some detail here. Okay. First, material type. Is it yellow gold, white gold, rose gold, platinum? Each has its own market value, its own demand.
Makes sense.
Second, the stone itself. Super important. For diamonds, like in the Perlée range, quality is key. But Van Cleef also uses stunning colored gems, rubies, for instance, in their solitaire rings or the floral Folie de Pré collection. Can be valued at several hundred thousand pounds. Depends on condition, characteristics. Sapphires, like the Brume de Saphir earrings from the Pallmeyer collection, could release over 100,000 pounds in capital if they're in good shape. And historic pieces with emeralds, like the Pomme de Pin clip, also hold terrific value. Then you have the standard four Cs for diamonds cut, color, clarity, carat weight. But Van Cleef & Arpels, then, they actually take it a step further.
Oh, how so?
They introduce a self-imposed constraint they call character, this fifth C.
Character, what does that mean exactly?
It refers to the sort of unique artistic coherence, the design integrity, the emotional resonance of a piece, so it effectively becomes a five C's grading scheme.
Huh, that's fascinating, a fifth C.
Pretty unique, right? Speaks volumes about their meticulous standards.
Yeah, and that character isn't just marketing fluff, is it? It's a critical differentiator. It means VCA pieces are valued not just for the materials, but for their artistic integrity, their story, which directly boosts their appeal and, crucially, their loan security in the luxury market. It recognizes that intangible value of exceptional design.
Precisely. And then there are other factors, hugely important ones. Condition, vital. And that includes not just the jewelry itself, but whether you have the original packaging, boxes, pouches, the lot.
Ah, the full set. Always matters.
Definitely. For example, the source mentions a pair of medium-sized Cosmos earrings, bought for maybe 70,000 pounds. After years of wear, no original packaging, might only pawn for 20,000 pounds.
Ouch. That's a huge drop, like 70%.
Significant deduction. But conversely, high jewelry, in fabulous condition, can retain near original value even years later. And finally, authenticity. Confirmed through lab reports, certificates from places like GIA, HRD, GemLab.
The big names in gemology.
Right. These independent reports verify a gem's quality, its origin. Indispensable for valuation and getting those loans.
So connecting this back, Van Cleef & Arpels really shows how meticulous craftsmanship, that unique artistic vision, even the story behind it, significantly impacts market desirability and therefore loan value. The attention to detail in their pieces, It's mirrored in the detailed valuation process. It underscores that true luxury is, well, a sum of many intricate parts.
Beautifully put. Okay, next up, Cartier.
Ah, Cartier.
Often called the Jeweler of Kings and the King of Jewelers. That was King Edward VII, apparently.
Quite the endorsement.
Founded in Paris, 1847, Louis-Francois Cartier. And the list of famous collectors is long. Barbara Hutton, the Duchess of Windsor. Vintage Cartier is highly valued, but provenance proof of history is absolutely essential for appraisal. And in the early 20th century, they were even inspired by Indian jewels. Created some truly iconic pieces.
Yeah.
And Cartier's broad appeal, its historical weight, means luxury pawnbrokers are pretty confident offering loans on most pieces. Bracelets, necklaces, earrings, brooches, rings. What's particularly interesting, though, and kind of a subtle point for valuation, is that Cartier jewelry is often more valued the older it is.
Yes. That's a key takeaway. Like the original love bracelets from the 70s, usually worth more than the modern ones. They hold their value remarkably well.
Decades later, amazing.
And who can forget the Cartier Panther, introduced over 100 years ago. That motif is on so many pieces, vintage and modern. You'll have no trouble releasing capital and jewelry with that iconic big cat.
Instantly recognizable.
Another really sought-after design. The Trinity Ring. Three interlocking bands, yellow, white, rose gold.
Very symbolic.
Deep symbolism, yeah. White gold for friendship, yellow for loyalty, rose for love. Common for engagement, marriage.
Ooh.
But here's a crucial detail for you listening. Mm-hmm. Personalized engraving. Might actually lower the value of a Cartier wedding or engagement ring when it's appraised for a loan.
So maybe think twice about engraving to my snuggle puff forever.
Yeah, maybe. If you're considering future collateral, that forever yours, Brenda, might not be the best investment move.
Indeed. It's a good reminder. Personal touches are priceless emotionally, but the market often prefers, you know, a blank slate. Though even their modern collections, like that very contemporary Cactus de Cartier line, still pull in high prices. Shows the brand's enduring power, design strength across different eras.
Okay, so finally we get to brands that aren't just about the gems themselves, but about these deeply woven cultural stories, celebrity endorsements, and often really profound personal connections. Let's start with Bulgari.
Bulgari. Roman roots.
Exactly. The founder, Sotirio Bulgari, was Greek-born but started selling his amazing designs in Rome, late 19th century. His pieces quickly got famous worldwide, popular with international royalty, celebrities, Elizabeth Taylor, Rihanna, Princess Marie-Jose of Belgium.
That list says a lot. Bulgari, haute couture, diamond jewelry, just screams sophistication and luxury. Those Roman roots, the audacious designs. They've created this really distinct look that resonates with a very exclusive crowd. And that resonance, you see it directly in their market performance.
Oh, absolutely. Some of their most iconic pieces fetch sky-high prices regularly. An 8-carat blue diamond fancy vivid ring bought for $18.3 million at Christie's in 2018.
Incredible sum.
And Elizabeth Taylor's legendary diamond and sapphire sartoir, that's a long necklace, it sold for $5,906,500 back in 2011. Bulgari diamond jewelry is just always in demand. Pawn shops, auction houses,
yeah.
Reflects its enduring value, its desirability. This brand isn't just design, it's about a specific, powerful cultural impact.
Definitely has that wow factor.
And then Tiffany & Co.
Ah, Tiffany's. Maybe the best-known jewelry company in the world.
Potentially, yeah. And surprising origins. Started with stationery.
Yeah.
And just $1,000 seed money in 1837.
Really? Stationery? I didn't know that.
Yep. Okay. But they quickly specialized in jewelry that emphasized clear quality. Kind of a contrast to the over-the-top Victorian style back then. They were even the first U.S. company to adopt the British silver standard, 92% pure metal.
Setting standards early on. And Tiffany's historical moves were pretty profound, too. Like, in 1887, they bought 1/3 of the French crown jewels.
Wow.
Yeah, quite a statement. It really cemented their reputation for dealing in exceptional pieces. And they've always been innovators, experimenting with colored gemstones, launching their own metal alloy, Rubedo. That commitment to quality, to innovation, century after century, it's the bedrock of their brand value.
And their impact on celebrity, on pop culture, undeniable.
Yeah.
Think of the 287-carat Tiffany diamond. Audrey Hepburn wearing it. Iconic.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Exactly. Or more recently, Lady Gaga at the Golden Globes wearing that bespoke Tiffany Aurora necklace.
Mm.
300 diamonds. They're known as the most romantic jewelry, right?
Yeah.
Especially engagement rings, special occasions. Tiffany pieces often carry this huge emotional connection.
Which means selling Tiffany jewelry can be a really tough emotional decision, one people might regret. And this brand just perfectly illustrates that tension, doesn't it? Between sentimental value and sometimes financial need. It's exactly why services like collateral lending become so important. They let you access capital without permanently losing pieces that carry such profound personal, maybe even cultural weight.
Give you options.
Right. It's about preserving legacies while dealing with immediate needs. Gives you control over assets that are often deeply personal. Oh, and a practical point. Older Tiffany pieces can sometimes be tricky to identify. You really need an expert who knows how their markings have changed over time for proper authentication.
Good tip. So, wrapping this all up, what does this mean for you, our listener? These brands, Graff, Van Cleef & Arpels, Bulgari, Harry Winston, Tiffany, Cartier, they show us that luxury jewelry is way more than just an expense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a robust asset class. It can be a shrewd investment. And it's often a deeply personal possession that, if you understand it correctly, offers surprising financial flexibility.
Yeah, the key takeaway really is that interplay. Rarity, craftsmanship, history, brand power, it all adds up to tangible, reliable value.
We've really explored the glittering world of these six giants of luxury jewelry today, delved into what makes each unique, their history, and their immense tangible value, especially in the luxury lending market. And hopefully you've discovered that these aren't just beautiful things. They are verifiable, tangible assets. They offer a strategic way to unlock capital while keeping pieces that might hold, you know, irreplaceable emotional significance.
Absolutely. And that meticulous valuation process, looking at everything from the metal type to tiny artistic details, the history, even the original box, it just speaks volumes about the inherent enduring value packed into these extraordinary items.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. Consider this. In an age of fleeting trends, of often intangible digital assets, what does it mean to own something so enduringly valuable? Something so rich in history and craftsmanship that it goes beyond mere beauty. It becomes potentially a cornerstone of both your personal legacy and your financial prudence.
That's interesting. Perhaps true luxury isn't just in the buying.
But in the intelligent stewardship, the flexible leveraging of these timeless treasures.
Something to think about.